I am Sid Garza Hillman, and this is what I think.
Man, did I have a bad attitude. I mean, I was a little a little whiny baby, okay? So I was speaking at the Sonoma County Veg Fest this last Saturday. I was such a little brat about it. I'm not overtly bratish. I'm just in my own brain. I was just, yeah, no, I don't want to go. And here's why. They asked me to do it. They have like this main stage, and usually I'm speaking. And this isn't like me going, I've been doing this enough where I'm like on main stages and one of the featured speaker kinds of things. And they have this kids play family room thing. And they were like, oh, you could do a healthy families talk there. And I was like, I don't want to do a talk. I very nicely was like, look, my thing is not really to, my new book is on healthy families, but it's totally focused on the parents. So I don't really want to do a talk with kids when there's like Legos and face paints present. It's just a thing. And I was kind of being a little bitch about it. Sorry, but I was, and I'm not happy, but it's just what it was. And so I sort of tried to bail out of it. I was like, I'm not your guy. I'm not your guy. They said, it's fine. There's another speaker. Please do it. And I said, okay. And so I drove down, didn't video, just bad attitude guy, just left my, family is like, I don't want to go. Showed up and they did a good event. They had a lot of people there, and I walked in the room and there it is, the play tables and stuff. But anyway, long story short, turned out okay. It turned out fine. I did a good job. They were very happy. They said, we want you to come back next year and be on the main stage. And so that's good. At the point that they had asked me to come, they were basically booked on the main stage. They did have another speaker in that room, very nice lady. It ended up okay. Let that be a lesson to you. No, wait, to me. I'm a little touchy about this whole thing. And here's what I can psychoanalyze. I can self-psychoanalyze. And this is why I'm touchy. Years ago, when I was in college, I had come back for winter break from UCLA. I don't even remember what year, probably my junior year, maybe. And there was this family that invited my family over for Christmas Eve dinner. And so here I am home for a few days from college, and I go to this dinner. And I'm 20-ish, probably almost 21. It might have been my senior year. I probably just turned 21. And my birthday's in December, so it probably just happened. Anyway, so I'm at this party, this dinner, and you guys have heard, this isn't news, but there's typically, when there's big groups of people, at least in the U.S., there's what's called a card table. Again, you guys know. People who know what a card table. If you have too many people for the amount of seats you have, you fold out the card table. It's the American way. So we walk in, and our family, their family, and even another family who I knew the kids of. And so we go to sit down for dinner, and they have a card table set up because there's extras. Guess who gets put at the card table? Me. I'm 21. I got put at the card table. Guess who didn't get put at the card table? Their 17-year-old daughter got set at the main stage. Wait, oops, main table. Freudian slip. I did that on purpose. She's at the main table. I'm at the card table with this other guy who was like 19, and then like a 6-year-old and a 5-year. That's where I sat, had dinner at the card table. And I just left immediately. From that day on, I'm very sensitive. I don't want to be sat at any card table, figurative or literal. I just want you guys to know about that. If you invite me for dinner and you put me at a card table, I will not stay for dinner. I will actually not stay for dinner. Okay, I will go to Taco Bell before I will sit at the card table. I just want you guys to know that so that everybody, we're on the same page here. So that's how that goes. But good event. So I did my talk, and I'm kind of wandering around like I do. I'm checking out stuff, the different vendors, as it were. And there's always the nutty nut nuts at these things, right? But this one was pretty cool. Like, there were some good, cool people, some people who recognized me, and Some people didn't know that I had a new podcast, so that was kind of cool. They're like, oh, I really miss your old show. And I was like, I got a new show. They're like, what? I was like, what? I know. In general, the nutty nut factor was quite low, surprisingly. But there's always the one guy. There's always the guy. And as I'm wandering around, I'm going kind of cool. Nobody's cornering me and talking about elephants and chemtrails. It's a blur most of the time. But there's the guy. There's the guy. I look up. There he is. And he's this guy. The guy who is always bending toward the hippie. That's just, and I have a thing, you guys know. But I'm not always against hippies, but that's just kind of the bent. But in this case, not super washed in general. But here's the kicker. Here's how I always know. And before I even, I can assess in like 5 seconds. Cut off shorts. So short that the pockets, the white part of the inside, are hanging below the line of the bottom line of the short. That's how I'm like, that's the nutty nut. And there's usually a walking staff involved, you know, so because the paved sidewalk around Sonoma County is so treacherous, you know, you've got a walking stick and it's a staff of sorts, maybe with some feathers. Some sort of tie-dye-ish thing, but it's always the shorts with the pockets hanging below the, like, you cut off those jeans, it's like a surgical maneuver. You got to cut the jeans, but not cut the cloth of the pocket. That's how high up you're cutting. And nobody needs to wear that to a veg fest. Nobody needs to wear that to a veg fest. I mean, sure, that may be the most controversial thing I've said yet in 12 episodes. It could be. I've really ruffled some feathers out there. If you're the short shorts cutoff guy, get some new pants. And the thing that you don't need to worry about inches on a ruler, if the pants are above the pocket cloth, they're too short. I mean, that's just an objective truth. I got some emails last week that people who understood my Janine Garofalo reference from Reality Bites, thank you, because it keeps me sort of in the same area when I'm like, am I the only one? I just want to be clear, qualifier. I was not comparing Miss Janine Garofalo to a gorilla. It was a play on words, Janine Gorilla, if you heard the, I'm not going to go into it again. I'm not comparing her to a gorilla. I was just saying. I will say that the bone I have to pick with her is while she was fantastic in Reality Bites, I don't think she's technically a Gen Xer. And that kind of bothers me because she's in that movie acting like a Gen Xer, but not really a Gen Xer. I mean, how dare an actor act like something that they're not? I mean, next thing, what is it? Scarlett Johansson going to play a trans person? That's insane. We actors in Hollywood should play only themselves when there's a documentary that is shot about them. They can play themselves in their own movie. That's it. Otherwise, that's just they're overstepping their bounds. I did meet Scarlett Johansson once. I hate to drop names, and I think she could have married me. She might have. I was already with Lisa. I'm not gonna marry Scarlett Johansson on a whim because I was in a movie that she was in. It was called Ghost World. She was one of the co-stars. I also was one of the people who was on the screen for about 1.5 minutes. Ghost World. I did share a cigarette with Thor Birch that day, and that's another claim to fame. I always said, I just want to be able to share a cigarette with Thor Birch, and then my dream came through true, sitting on a curb, having a cigarette with Thor Birch. Mm. Man, have I come a long way. So I was reading the news, as I'm doing a little more these days, because I'm kind of doing that, and I might burn out on it sooner than later, I'm just saying. And what's fascinating to me today, what's going on here, aside from just the absolute nutty nut nut stuff that's going, I mean, just off the charts, reality show, just that's just our lives today. Fine. Okay, fine. But what's fascinating to me is the whole Facebook, Google, Twitter, social media platforms sort of calling the shots on content. I don't have a definitive on this one, but it's making me a little nervous. This was an interview with Jack Dorsey, who's the CEO of Twitter, I think, CEO or whatever. By the way, Biz Stone was one of the creators. He wrote the foreword to my first book, so small world. Jack and I we're probably buddies. He probably comes over for coffee. I just don't know. So it's all about hold of Twitter, and they're sort of monitoring and they're checking accounts to see if they're fake. That's great. Good stuff. Here's why I'm getting a little nervous, because I don't want to go to frickin' Mark frickin' Zuckerberg and go, Mark, can you be the arbiter of what is good and bad on your, like, much like we go to actors to get moral judgment and find out what their thoughts are, because, you know, their whole art is involved in them acting like and reading other people's words. So definitely they're an authority just by virtue of them being on a screen. There's no doubt about that. Likewise, somebody who starts a social media platform isn't de facto an authority in anything except for potentially running a social media platform. That's it. And I think that it is incumbent upon us to say, is this a thing I want to be involved in or not? But I'm a little nervous in saying, hey, Mark Zuckerberg, can you be the moral compass of your social platform? Because on any given day, I am either going to disagree or agree with you, but it's kind of scary to put you in charge of that nonsense. But we're holding him responsible, and I don't think that's fair. I think what's fair is we getting off our asses and deciding if this is a thing that helps us or does not help us, and to what extent. Blocking information, as crazy as we think it is and wrong 100% sometimes, and truly wrong 100%, isn't going to stop the information. It's just going to, number one, move to another platform somehow, somewhere, and two, feed into the conspiracy theories that already probably exist. When we say you can't say that, we're like, see what I tell you. They're trying to shut me down because they know I'm true. It's just like we give voice to this stuff all the time. We just feed that beast. Those of you who know me know that a few years ago, I shut down my Twitter account. And I don't mean just put on hold, like it's gone. Every tweet that I ever did is gone. It's deleted. It's finished. Why? Not because I'm some sort of soothsayer, can tell the future. I didn't want it. I didn't feel good. I didn't like it. I understand it and I get the value. I really do. Not for me. I mean, I'm not going to say like people who tweet are bad. No, I think it's an incredible way to exchange information. It's amazing. I want zero part of it. That. Then I moved over to Facebook and said, yeah, God, don't want any part of that either. So I kind of left that thing up, but dead. Kind of dead. It's up, but dead. I do occasional posting on Instagram. I find that to be a cooler, and it's visual and it's funny. And there's no objective truth to this. This is my taste. But the whole thing about the Twitter kind of thing was just I don't know. Here's my thing. I am living in a delicate balancing act. And I, as somebody who advises other people and through smallsteppers.com and working through this challenge that we have to live lives that we want to live. And this last show that I did, and now this show is still with that backdrop. These thoughts are, in theory, just to at least inspire thinking in your own life or whatever, at least offering my point of view in a way that potentially is going to change your mind, solidify how much you disagree with me, whatever. I like the conversation of it. But my own life is more of a delicate balancing act that is between paying super close attention, like when I look at the news, and knowing and learning how to better fully ignore sometimes too. I mean the shut off, like the full on shut off. Here's what I am thinking these days more and more, that it is the in-between that is killing us. The in-between of constant content flooding in and us not being actually attentive to it, like not fully in it. We're not consciously going, okay, now is the time that I'm going to go into social media. Now is the time I'm going to go to the news. Now is the time I'm going to go to whatever, entertainment and YouTube. And now I'm not going to. It's the instead just sort of this half-assed having it on, kind of checked out, kind of watching it, but kind of my thumbs are moving and I'm not really don't know where they're moving. And they click on best golf shots of 2002, you know, like just, and not something I'm actually interested in, but I just might as well watch it. It's a good clickbait title. Clickbait is sort of the perfect solution if you want a lot of views to that kind of dulled, not fully there, but not ignoring it either reality. Because if you can just, if you've got somebody who's sort of dulled out and kind of going through the motions, you can hook them right in with a catchy title. It's plain and simple. Always the question is this serving us as a people? And in general, I'd say on the balance, no. But in my own practice of my own life and in what I'm advising, it's like I am sort of in this place where I'm going, like, try to minimize the sort of, and we want to check out sometimes, that's fine, but try to minimize sometimes the floaty kind of in between, fully immersed in content, but not fully attentive in that moment to that content. I think there's a deadening of the soul. Is that a little dramatic? No, because it's like a deadening of the soul. You know how I know? It's I experience it. I'm like, I feel worked when I've sort of look up and 30 minutes has passed of just dipshit looking at stuff. And I feel my energy is sapped, you know, like, and I see sometimes with my kids, even and other kids, like, it's like, you gotta get up because it sucks you dry. And so it was interesting articles. There's Jack, they're trying to kind of fix that deal. Their stock's tanking. You know, look, I got out of Twitter early. I had a feeling. I didn't have a feeling. I didn't want any parts. I was like, God, to feel. There's certain times where I like do something, and after I'm done, I'm like, yeah, that 100%. No regrets there. I hit delete, and I was like, freedom off my shoulders makes me happy. I think those are the words. Had chimichangas for dinner. You did not see that coming, 100%. You did not go, I bet he's going to talk about chimichangas. He's going to talk, wait for it, what, ready? Chimichangas, what'd I tell you? Hey, thanks everybody for chipping in on the old Patreon. Got another shirt sent out today to somebody in I don't remember where, all over the country, and one person in Canada. Anyway, so thanks for that, and the reviews have come in a few more. Thanks, you guys. Thank you. Okay, good. Why am I still, to this day, 99% focused on the fix? And what I mean by that is the fix of this. This has not changed, okay? Even though I've got to do a new show, this has not changed. Our knowledge of nutrition, of exercise, even the knowledge of our own values, what we stand for, pretty simple. I actually think they're pretty simple. What is stopping us or the reality is merely an issue for all of us. The challenge is counting how many layers of crap you're hiding underneath. I mean, if you can't make decisions, if you are one of these, like, I don't know what to do, most, if not all the time, we actually do know what to do. Most, if not all the time, we have a general idea to how to eat well. Most, if not all the time, we have an idea of that exercise is freaking good for us. Knowledge, in that sense and in that reality, can be an absolute distraction. I got to read the 15th book on this before I can do anything. Knowledge, by the way, is amazing, and it's a great along the way sort of while you're, it's an adjunct to, like, you're doing stuff at the same. I'm very hesitant and reticent to say to somebody, learn more, and then act, because chances of them acting at that point go down. But if you start acting based on what you know right now, just based on what you know without even knowing anymore, you kind of have a general idea that moving around's good. Okay, good. Go for a walk. And while you're walking, and then maybe get a book on exercise. And, oh, I'm moving every day, but I kind of like to know more while I'm moving every day. I'm eating some more fresh fruits and vegetables. I kind of like to know more about nutrition. I feel like I don't quite know enough, but I'm already doing stuff. Because when you do that, you are then peeling away the layers. This is the self-described things that I hear. I'm in a rut. I can't decide what to do. I have no idea. It's between this, and I really don't know. And I always maintain that it's such a load of horseshit, because I always say, if you really don't know a difference between two things, if you really can't decide, if you actually can't decide, choose one randomly. I mean, choose one randomly. Just go to B or A. But just go. If you actually are going to tell me that you cannot tell the difference between two choices, they are of exactly the same value to you, then what difference does it make? It doesn't make any difference. Act. but then they won't. So is the issue that they don't know, or is the issue that they are stuck? And if you're stuck, it's because you are underneath a blanket of family issues, work issues, fatigue, unhealthy body, whatever that is. You're just laying down underneath this thing, and you're going to try to convince me that it's because you can't make a decision between A and B, and I'm going to call you on your crap because it's not true. Or you're going to say, I just don't have the energy. And you probably feel like you don't. The action is always going to be, and you know, I'm a small stepper, so I'm going to say the smallest action you could do because it gets you to act, and that is what opens up. I'm still battling the small steppers thing, by the way. I'm still, the people who are signing up for this program, they're not coming in droves because it's such a weird thing. I know it is, and I'm just not going to complain about it anymore because the people who are doing it are getting something out of it. But it's such a weird thing to kind of be in a constant challenge, whereas a practitioner who like talks about high protein diet, no challenge. They made it easy on themselves. They're selling bullshit, but they're making it easy on themselves. Good for them. To me, I kind of prefer to sleep at night. That's just me. I like to be able to go to sleep at night and know that I didn't sell out me or people. I know. Mm. But that's why I'm 99% focused on the fix, which is to peel the layers. When you peel the layers, you eventually get underneath. When you eventually get underneath, action is pretty darn easy. That's the focus way more than what you know or are gonna know or can know. Get all that stuff going, learn it great, but as long as you're acting along the way. If you're not acting along the way right now, if you're reading nutrition and you're not eating better, if you're reading about exercise and you're not moving your body, if you're reading about meditation and you're not deep breathing or meditating, put those books down, take exactly what you've learned thus far and no more, and act just based on that stuff. Don't do any more. Just act based on that stuff that you already know. Even if later you find out it's wrong because you read a book and you went, oh my goodness, you have now gone from one point to the next point and you're on your way. And as you learn more, you're now equipped to act. You have trained yourself to act. We're not training ourselves to act. We're training ourselves to not act. We're training ourselves to just get more and more content and sit on our asses and not do anything about our lives. We're not training ourselves to act. We are, what am I saying? We are getting soft. We are getting soft. That is what's happening right now. It is a softness that is not serving us. And it's really, really rough. And so, kick your own ass. At the end of the day, it is going to have to be you to kick your own ass. Now, a lot of times I'll say, look, if you want to live a better life. But I'm not going to say that anymore because everybody wants to live a better life. Everybody wants to live the best life they can. Now, some people are in places. Goodness gracious. Some people are in places. Period. No, some people are in places where they're like, good. I'm good. I feel good. But things can change. Things can change. And they're like, I'm pretty happy right now. I'm kind of doing. But rare, if ever, have I ever met somebody where they're like, I'm 100% there. Like, I don't want to change a thing. Again, things are going to change in their lives. It's called reality. And furthermore, I bet there's things that they could just continually tweak in a cool way. Not to get obsesso about it, but just generally tweak and work on and kind of work and just to keep things lively. To keep things, it's like a marriage where you go, yeah, we're good. Yeah, bull. It takes constant work to keep a successful marriage. It takes constant work. It takes constant work. That's living. Living takes constant work. And if you are not training yourself to act, you lose. And if you're not kicking your own ass now and then, you're gonna lose. If you don't know how to kick your own ass, you are gonna lose. At the end of the day, you're gonna have to. If you are going to move and evolve and grow as a person, you're going to have to learn to kick your own ass once in a while. You're going to have to get to the point where you go, get off your ass. The only people who don't need that are people who either want or can afford having somebody follow them 24 hours a day and kick them in the ass and go, get up. I'm your personal trainer, and I've taken that to the next level. I'm going to shower with you, go to the bathroom with you, cook with you, clean with you, go to sleep with you, go to work with you, go to soccer practice with you, with your kids, go get in the minivan with you. That's the only way that you wouldn't have to kick your own ass is if you had somebody constantly kind of reminding you of who you are and urging you to take care of yourself. This podcast ain't going to do it. No plan that you'll ever do will ever do it. At best, with a little instruction, you can get that instruction from people, me included, and you can learn how to kick your own ass. And maybe when you were a kid, your parents taught you that, but maybe when you were a kid, your parents didn't teach you that. And you're now 37 and a half, and I got to learn to kick. Look what happened. I never knew how to kick my own ass. And now I'm 37 and a half. I got to learn for the first time how to kick my own ass. The wrong decision is, let me read 1,500 books on kicking my own ass. Do something. See what happens when you start doing something. Anything. The dumbest thing, start doing something, because you're training yourself to act such that you're setting yourself up so that when you eventually know more, you don't have to learn how to act on it. You already got that dialed in. That you can do right away. And then as you know more, you can act on it with what you knew. Things change. New information comes in. How great to be able to go, oh, this cow, okay, well, let me do it this way now. The worst case scenario, new information comes in, you're still sitting on your ass, and you're like, now I know new information, and I'm still doing nothing about it. But let's talk about it some more. Let's have a meeting about it. Let me take another course on it. I have a bad attitude again. You guys maybe have a bad attitude again. It's like Sonoma Veg Fest. And thanks to those people. So nice. I'm glad you just said, come on, they said. Get down here, you little whiny little baby. There was a 9-year-old kid in the talk, asked some good questions and kind of called me on stuff. And I was like, what are you, a lawyer? I said, look, it's an ethical thing for me. Whether you're making decisions for the environment or for animals or for your own health, I don't want to separate those things. I'm tired of parsing them out. It's an ethical decision. How are you living your life? What are the things you're doing in the world? Those are manifestations of your values and your ethics. It's one thing. Let's not get confused by parsing all this stuff out into partitioned little this subject and then that. Let's just, are we ethical or not? And to what degree are we behaving based on our ethics in the world? That's it. And it can be manifest in a multitude of ways. And he raises his hand. I go, yeah. Put down your Legos. No, he didn't have Legos. I said, what? He goes, well, the speaker before you said you should choose, you know, one, like choose one, like choose your health or choose that it's the animals or choose that. And I was like, what are you? Is it your honor? I object. Leading the witness. I'm going to finish with the subject of this episode called Goldilocks Tough. Goldilocks Tough. I think Goldilocks kind of had it going on. I'm not just talking about the hair. And I want to be clear that in this case, I cannot tell you how much I hate everything in moderation. So this is not that argument. But you know, if you've been listening to this new show, I'm all about strength, the definition of what true strength is. I think that we need to toughen up, most of us, but in this right way, and the Goldilocks tough way. Just the right amount of tough. Toughen yourself up. Meaning, find out what you stand for, however long that takes. And again, peel off the layers of shit that are covering you up. Do what you need to do to get sort of out that. Get help if you need it. Peel that stuff away. Okay, I know what I stand for. Now I got to do the work of acting in the world, toughening myself up so that I can actually stand up for what I believe in and stand up for who I am so I don't get kicked around and knocked around like a pinball. But then It's like the delicate balancing act of me being engaged and also ignoring the crap in the world. So too with toughness, because on the extremes, toughness becomes weakness. Meaning, if you're not tough at all, you're weak. But if you just are about being tough, I see that as very weak. And that becomes this thing of digging your heels in to the point where you can't actually ever change your tack, even when it's clearly not working for you. I mean, how many times am I seeing people and I'm like, you can criticize me for what I eat and stuff, but clearly what you're doing is not working for you. Like, but you're not going to ask that question because you're so tough that you're going to criticize what I'm doing when you should be saying, what are you doing? Because you're in better all over than I am. But yes, it's about protein for sure. So it's a toughness. It's a Goldilocks toughness. It's a strengthening of your mind and body so that you can live on your terms and not be so about living on your terms that you can't change those when and if you realize this ain't working for me anymore, or I learned something new and therefore I'm changing my direction in this. This is the ultimate strength, in my opinion, is having a thoughtfulness attached to toughness. Toughness without thoughtfulness, my goodness, you're seeing it in the world. Everyone's digging their heels in. Nobody wins. It's a whole bunch of weak, crap people who are arguing and not listening and arguing and not listening. Strength is a bigger picture in my mind. It is a picture of knowledge. It is a picture of consideration. It is a picture of strength, of respect. It's a picture of respect. Strength is saying, I screwed that up. That's a strong thing. That's not a weak thing. And it never was. It's always been a strong thing. Goldilocks tough. Just tough enough that you're wading through the world. You're doing just fine. You're standing on your own. You're not getting knocked to the earth. You can handle things. You realize the challenges that are presented to you. You have the confidence to know you can get on top of those things, but not walking around with your chest out because you can't even admit when you actually screw up. Goldilocks tough. Dig? Okay. I'm gonna admit something. The whole story of the Christmas dinner card table, I'm still a little bit pissed off about that. I went through this entire episode, and I gotta go journal about my card table trauma.
Spent all tucked away, I'm holding a glimpse of falsehood quiet. The streets will always be busy when I can pick out some speck of something that will hold me. I spent last night looking through a glaze I've covered on switching from me to you, from simple to full and around the bad way. For the most part, I can live between. What turns my head, I can stop the story. See what might lie ahead, my eye must simply be bad. So I'm trying to sketch what I'm seeing, but it turns out great. I spent last night looking through a glaze I covered on switching from me to you, from simple to full in a roundabout way. I spent last night looking through a glaze I'm covered on switching from me to you, from simple to full and around the bad way. Cause I spent last night looking through a glaze I'm covered on switching from me to you, from simple to full.